I want to ask you a question this morning. What time, just give me a few, most of you know, what time do you normally start each day? What time? 5:30? 5:30? 5? I got 5:30. I got 5:30. We'll take 6, 7. Yeah, 6. Yeah. Most of us. 4 in the afternoon. I'm not sure you do. She doesn't get to bed until really late. Yeah, you know, but a lot of us, it's natural. I mean, there are some people who, you know, have a specific time every day. Some people whose days are shifted because of what they're doing. And then some who work interesting shifts and it gets them waking up. But most of us are waking up when the sun's coming up in the morning, around-ish, you know. Some get up a little before that so they can get to work by the time the sun comes up. And we've got this thing, daylight savings time, that we just went, you know, through the change again, change a couple times every year. What time does the calendar day start? Midnight, yeah. Isn't that interesting? We have this calendar day that's been set up for us, and the new day starts at midnight. I'm not sure how that happened. I've been meaning to research that. I was doing a lot of research with this message today. That one I really haven't found out for sure how that got started. You realize that midnight used to be a guess anyway because there was no sundial at night to tell you when it was the middle of night. And some of the ancient peoples figured out how to look at the stars and figure certain things too. And you know, our clocks are based on astronomical movement and all that. That's kind of how it works. We created a way of dividing up time. Does anyone know what time the Jewish day starts? 6 p.m. Yeah, 6 p.m. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me start reading there to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. That's part of the reason why the Jewish people, this was in their Talmud for a long, long time, and in their history for a long, long time. And so according to the Jewish calendar, your day starts at 6 in the evening. And I was reading some about this. It's really interesting because, you know, they used to determine noon by when the sun was highest. And they determined 6 p.m. basically by when the sun set, and 6 a.m., if you will, by when the sun came up. So do you know that their hours were longer and shorter depending on the time of year? That's kind of how they did it. In the summer, they didn't know they were working longer necessarily, but they were working longer. And in the winter, they were working shorter. And they still called noon, noon. Even though we are adjusted by mechanisms, they were adjusted by just their ability to observe. So midnight was a hard thing for them because, you know, they didn't have a mechanism to tell them exactly when midnight was. And so I still don't know how we got midnight as the start of our day. I do find it interesting, though, that though the modern world starts time at midnight, I still think God still operates on his schedule. And God operates on a schedule that starts the day with a very interesting thing. It's called rest. We don't think of our day starting with rest. We think of our day starting after we've rested. But what if we started thinking of our day as something that started when we started resting? And what would our lives be like if rest was more important to us, so that we were very determined to make sure that we got our day started right and our day started in the evening when the sun went down instead of the next morning? What would our lives look like? What if we made up our minds that we wanted to make sure that our day got started right by getting enough rest or sleep? What do you think Adam and Eve did at the beginning of their day if God started the day with rest? I think they went to sleep. Maybe they cuddled a little while. I don't know if the Garden of Eden, whether they built fires or not. It is kind of cool to sit around a fire. Have you ever been sitting around a fire and the crackle and this just good smell? And you just, yeah, this is nice. And then they started their day with rest, and then they woke up so they could do the rest of the things they were supposed to do that day. But their day began with rest. I believe that God wants you to rest well because you can function better if you rest well. Are you aware of that? Yeah, we say we are, but I got to tell you, I don't know that we really are. This pattern of rest, by the way, a man preparing for his day, has been going on, according to the Jewish calendar, 5,778 years from when they estimate that it was Adam and Eve's time to be awoken from the dust, if you will, and then they started their day out with rest. So for centuries, the majority of people, in fact, did have a pattern to their life that had them going to bed when the sun went down or shortly thereafter, and getting up when the sun came up. Interesting, isn't it? We don't do that these days, do we? No. You know, midnight used to be the middle of the night, but now it's like an hour or half hour after we go to bed because we watch the news. How did midnight become not midnight? What changed? What happened? How many of you think you know what changed everything about 130, 40 years ago? You know what happened? What? Technology. Electricity. The light bulb. Bing! We had a good idea. Maybe. Do you know that the first electrically lit city in the United States is Wabash, Indiana? A town I lovingly call Wabatucky, where my grandson lives. I don't only call it that. Somebody actually told me that. Yeah, the light bulb has changed everything, and now we function, or perhaps malfunction, differently than we did for centuries, for millennia. And just the last, if you think, the last very small period of time, we've changed the way human beings function. Dramatically. So today we got an extra hour of sleep, and in the spring we will lose an hour of sleep. And by the way, this now happens to 1.6 billion people in the world in over 70 countries. Yeah, we've spread this around the world. The majority of the world still doesn't do this, but a lot of the world does this daylight savings time thing. And the reality is that it's has its problems. Due to the extra hour, heart attacks worldwide today, due to the extra hour of sleep, on average today, heart attacks worldwide will drop by 21% because people got an extra hour of sleep. And in the spring, when they lose an extra hour of sleep, heart attacks will go up by 24% because we lost 1 hour. Similar numbers, by the way, can be found for all sorts of things, and they've been documented, including for things like suicide and traffic accidents. And there's also documentation, you'll like this, that the Monday following daylight savings time springing forward, sentencing in courts is harsher. And the day in the fall, the Monday in the fall, after they gain an extra hour of sleep, sentencing in the courts is more lenient. Great. crazy? What are we trying to do to ourselves? Well, today, I think you guys, maybe, I think the Lord's up to something more, but, you know, y'all seem to be pretty alive today. Nudge that person next to you and say, you look good today. This daylight savings time is like a single massive experiment that's being done on the population. And what it does, what I just told you, demonstrates the power of 1 hour of sleep difference. 1 hour makes that much difference. Think about this. This is crazy. So sleep is important. Did you know sleep is a promise? Psalm 127 verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. For he gives his beloved sleep. How many of you are God's beloved? You know you are, don't you? God loves you. You're the beloved of God. He gave his son for you. He's given everything for you. He loves you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. And guess what? 1/3 of it is supposed to be doing. Yeah. It's really funny. You know, there have been in the modern era, including Edison, by the way, who created the light bulb. He thought that sleep was a terrible waste of time. But if you look back in the centuries before Edison, sleep was written about as something wonderful, something mystical, something magical, something divine. People understood and appreciated sleep so much more. And then after Edison and the light bulb and some stuff, we started having people that just started saying, sleep's a waste of time. Don't waste your time sleeping. And they started, you know, did you know that President Reagan didn't like sleep and didn't want to sleep and thought sleep was a waste of time? And one of his favorite friends, Margaret Thatcher, also thought sleep was a waste of time? And I'll touch on this a little bit later more clearly, but they both ended up with Alzheimer's. And there is a powerful link between Alzheimer's and a lack of sleep. So here's my question. And by the way, if during what I'm talking about today, any of you falls asleep, I'll just consider it a healing of insomnia for you. That'll be, I know I've said that a couple times lately, but listen to, here's the thing. God gave us this gift called sleep. Are we taking advantage of the gift? And do we feel bad if we take too much advantage of the gift? Because there is a societal thing where if you see this morning, I didn't ask this, but I saw a talk on this, and a guy walks in and he goes, how many of you got 6 to 7 hours of sleep last night? And a few people raised their hands. Or first he started out, less than six, a bunch of hands went up. 6 to 7, some hands went up. 7 to 8, some hands went up. 8 to 9, everybody started giggling. 9 to 10, one person. And I think the person felt shamed. As though we're not supposed to get that much sleep. Listen to this quote. This is from a guy named Matthew Walker. He's a Harvard-educated neurologist. He's the director of the sleep of the Center for Human Sleep Science at UC Berkeley, and he's the author of a book that I do have called Why We Sleep. Okay, you ready for this? Here's his quote: the number of people who can survive on 7 hours of sleep or less, rounded up to a whole number and expressed as a percent of the population, is zero. What? I get less than 7 hours of sleep and I'm surviving. Are you? Do you know what the word survive means? It means overlive, to live over something. Are you surviving or are you subviving? Because you don't get enough sleep. See, I'm about to challenge you to do something. I'm about to challenge you to let God give you 1/3 of your life back. The full 1/3. And I think it could actually make you more aware, more sensitive, more involved, more connected, more relatable. In fact, part of the reason why the Spirit might have been freer to move a little bit this morning might be because we all slept a little bit more last night. It might be. Oh, I listen to the Spirit no matter what. Sure you do. You're no different than me. We all miss him. And sometimes when we're not feeling good, we miss stuff. And sometimes when we're feeling really good, we're ready for him to do whatever he wants to do. Wow. While you can do without sleep, you will not do as well as you will with sleep. Because a lot of important stuff is going on in your body and your brain, and the modern lifestyle might be short-circuiting some of us. Psalm 16 and verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Something's going on at night. While most of the scientists that I did look into what they were saying didn't seem to have much room for God, most of them were not proclaimed atheists, but they were very heavy evolutionists. They kept talking about how we were designed. They couldn't help themselves. I've noticed this with lots of evolutionists. They like to talk about how humans are designed by a total accident. I don't think you get designed by accident. But nevertheless, they do talk extensively about what sleep does for you. For example, in studies, people who are not getting enough sleep are mentally impaired by an average of 40% compared to people who had a full night's rest. That was people who slept 6 hours or less compared to people who slept 8 hours or more. 40% less. So for a school student, for example, if they didn't get a good night's sleep, they could go from getting 100 on the test to a 60. And by the way, they've done a lot of stuff, and I am amazed with what they've discovered about school students. I'll tell you one story that I thought was fascinating. A school out in, I think, Wyoming or Colorado or maybe Montana decided they weren't going to start their school day until 9:55. They had been starting it at 7-something, 7:35, I think. They moved it to 9:55, and all of the kids' scores shot up. All the high school kids' scores shot up. Education was much easier for them. And here was a really fun one. Automobile accidents in their county, in the area where the school was, went down by 70%. It wasn't just the kids either. It was their parents who weren't climbing out of bed to drive them to school. People slept better, and automobile accidents went way down. Isn't that crazy? A study was done on rats, by the way, where they attached electrodes to their brains and they would run them through a maze. And they could hear the electrodes making little signals. They could see a pattern of signals as the little rats learned to run through the maze until they got to the point where they could run through the maze pretty well. And then an interesting thing happened. They left the electrodes on them while they slept. And guess what happened while they were sleeping? They heard that same pattern being repeated over and over. At 20 times the speed. And what they now believe is that when you go to sleep and you sleep well, not only do you learn before you sleep, but you need sleep to learn. And the sleep actually repeats things over and over. One guy compared it to this. It's like you get an email with an attachment that you want to save, and you don't save the attachment, and you forget to save the email, and it disappears. But when you get the attachment and you save it, you got it on your hard drive. That's what happens when your brain sleeps properly. What you had happen to you gets saved and stored, and you don't lose it. You retain it much more. Is it readily available instantly? No, not always, but it's still part of the overall thing that's going on inside of you. So while we sleep, our memories get stored, and we learn, and then we come back the next day, and guess what? We're better at what we were doing. And during REM sleep, that part where you have the weird dreams sometimes, and I think God sometimes intervenes in our dreams and does things, but during your REM sleep, here's what they believe is going on now. They believe that your new memories are connecting with your old memories, and they're bouncing off of each other. That's why some of the memories, like, what does that have to do with that? And you think to yourself, that has nothing to do with that. Well, your brain was making sure it understood that. Your brain was actually being instructed in the night seasons. This goes with that, and this doesn't go with that. And as a result, your most creative time in your existence is when you're sleeping, because your brain is rapidly tying things together. Have you ever heard someone say, sleep on it? Do you know that's in every culture? And what they found is if you sleep on it, the next morning you wake up and you figured something out that you couldn't have figured out any other way. Yes. Well, that because you sleep in the shower, apparently. I do feel like I get creative in the shower, too. But there's this creative thing going on, and it isn't interesting that God said he instructs us in the night seasons, or that our heart instructs us, moreover, in the night seasons. What if everything that we need to put together is put together when we get a good night's rest? And what if what we need to put together isn't put together if we don't get enough sleep? And by the way, don't feel bad toward your teenagers. When they start to hit adolescence, they need 10 hours a night. And they're not lazy. And by the way, they've been able to measure this in a measurable way. They don't want to go to bed as early as you, and they want to get up way later than you. And they don't know why exactly. There are theories out there. One theory is because they've come to that point in their life where they're starting to separate from their family, so their body goes on a different clock so that they can make that separation more naturally. Don't know. In studies of hunter-gatherer groups, I found this fascinating. They found that people who didn't have clocks, didn't have lights, didn't have any of the stuff that we're used to, they have this tendency to, when it gets dark, they can't stay awake very long, you know, maybe around the campfire for a little while, they tend to go to bed, they tend to fall asleep around 8 o'clock, they tend to sleep for 4 hours, they tend to wake up. And by the way, there's a history of this with the nobility in France and Germany and England. There was some of this that actually happened where they had this thing where they all knew they were going to do it. So they would meet in the middle of the night, play cards or do something, whatever they did, and then go back to bed. The hunter-gatherer tribes will sleep for 4 hours, wake up for a couple hours, do some stuff, go back to sleep for another 4 hours. By that time, it's sunrise. And they're completely confused about insomnia because for hunter-gatherer tribes, there's insomnia in about 1% of the people, whereas it's about 15% of modern Americans. What if God does want us to talk to you in the middle of the night? Some of you are looking at your clock in the middle of the night and you're going, I can't believe I'm awake. What if your brain is actually processing something and it's a good time for you? Some people, the best thing they can do is actually, according to one of the studies that I saw, get up, write down whatever they're thinking about, do it in low light, relax a few minutes, and then go back into the bedroom, because you'll fall asleep then. Not only do you get mentally impaired if you don't sleep well, you get emotionally impaired. When we don't get enough sleep, this part of our brain up here, the prefrontal cortex, which does all the decision-making stuff, the processing of decisions, it gets overridden and it doesn't want to work as well because the amygdala kicks in when you don't get enough sleep. Amygdala. And the amygdala is that part that drives what do they call that? Fear. I got it written down here someplace. Flight or fight mechanism. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you will be emotionally a basket case. Now, you may not realize you're a basket case. You may think that's your normal because you haven't gotten a good night's sleep in a long time. What if you could emotionally have a better life just by falling asleep? Now, somebody says, well, you don't sound like you're really preaching a thing for the Bible today. Listen, this is Bible. This is what God wanted for you. He wants you to have sleep. And I'm going to show you some more verses in a minute. People who don't sleep have a hard time keeping their emotions under control. And there's all sorts of mental disorders that are now being connected with a lack of sleep. They found that a lot of the people who are psychopaths have severe sleeping problems. Some of you are having way too much fun with this. When we don't get proper sleep, we also have not only mental problems and emotional problems, but physical problems. Have you ever heard anybody say, did you get your beauty rest? Yeah, it's more than just a mattress. Beauty rest has been tested. This is crazy. They took a group of people and they had them sleep a really good night's, you know, get a good night's sleep. And then they took them out and they photographed them in the morning. Yeah, I know. Some of you are like, ugh. But see, that's because you're not getting enough sleep. That's what's going on right there. They photographed these people. They gave them time to put their makeup. They took beautiful people, and then they photographed them after a really good night's rest. And then they did the same thing the next night, only the next night they didn't let them sleep only 6 hours or less. And then they photographed them again the next morning. And guess what? When a completely different group of people went through the photographs, they preferred the ones where they got more sleep because those people looked more beautiful. It's a real thing. I want you all to be more beautiful. I want you all to look prettier, more handsome. You need some good sleep. A man who sleeps 6 hours or less a night. Listen to this, guys. Guys, are you ready? A man who sleeps 6 hours or less a night will have the same level of testosterone as a man who is 10 years older than him who sleeps 8 hours or more a night. And I could get real... I'm not going to go there, but I will say this, men, you do need to have that hormone flowing through your body. It helps you have strength. It helps you with endurance. It helps you function. And by the way, they did some of the same experiments testing women. And guess what? You're older too if you sleep less. You're also 10 years older than you would be normally if you're sleeping 6 hours or less as compared to 8 hours or more. And I mentioned the Alzheimer's thing. They now know that when you're asleep, your brain does this process of cleaning itself out. That there are four levels of sleep and then the REM sleep. And during those processes, your brain is literally cleaning itself out. There is a lymphatic system. We've all heard of that. Well, now there's a thing they call the glymphatic system. And it's cleaning your brain out at night. And if you don't get enough sleep, it can't clean the toxins out of your brain. And they've now come to the understanding that part of the reason why Alzheimer's is entered into by a lot of people is because that level of toxin in the brain did not get cleaned out while you were sleeping. Somebody says, this is all bad news. No, it's not. It's good news. Because I'm going to tell you, you're allowed to sleep more. Does anybody ever look at a baby and go, I can't believe that kid sleeps all the time? No, we know that baby needs sleep. Well, let me tell you something, baby. You need sleep too. You need sleep too. Listen to this from the book of Proverbs. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. This is Proverbs 3, 19 through 24. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. He's talking about understanding and wisdom, this area of function. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Sweet! I want my sleep to be sweet. And your foot will not stumble. I'm going to say something connected to that in a minute. But do you know that in the early days of the printing press, the book that most people had was the Bible? And before they went to bed, it was really common for people to sit back and, you know, light a candle and read their Bible. And in that low light, they read their Bible and they heard the wisdom and knowledge of God. And that was inputting into their life. Nowadays, we have a tendency to look at a bright LED screen and we're watching the news, which is never good or rarely. Or we're watching some show where they're shooting at each other or they're running through the streets or they're racing cars or whatever they're doing. We do this. This is what we do. And then we try to lay down and go to sleep. One of the tips, by the way, and I'll go over some tips at the end of this. One of the tips for getting sleep is to turn off light emitting screens like the TV or your computer or your iPad or your phone. Turn that off for at least an hour before you go to bed and you will fall asleep better. Wow. Because the blue light, by the way, Corb, maybe you can help me look this up, because I was thinking, is there a way to avoid blue light so I could still read my iPad, so I could read my Bible out of my iPad? So I was thinking, those yellow glasses do that? I was just thinking if I could avoid the blue light, maybe I could watch TV longer, except for I'd still be watching shoot 'em ups and whatever. Yeah, they are popular, aren't they? Red? Is it red? Okay. Anyway, another thing that one guy said that really got me, he said, whatever you do, do not brush your teeth before bed. And I went, what?
Amen.
Kiss that woman with that dirty mouth. But anyway, here's what he said. It's not the brushing of teeth that's the problem. It's the fact that most of our bathrooms have very bright lights in them. So you get ready for bed, you do everything you can, and there you are, and you walk into the bathroom, and you go, bing, and flood yourself with light. And it actually affects how you respond, because the light is bright, and what you need is you need lights actually getting lower. And I read about one group of people who have been experimenting this, and they've got their house wired with different color light bulbs, and when it hits a certain time, the lights start to go down, other lights, and they're preparing themselves for sleep, because they want to get good sleep. It's crazy, I know, but it's not completely crazy. Because light, by the way, tells your brain to wake up. And if you have trouble waking up in the morning, make sure the first thing you do is walk over to the windows, and if it's a bright sunny day, throw them open, and if you can, don't put on sunglasses, because it'll help you wake up, and you'll get your day going better. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Some people have read this and they've misunderstood. It's not saying don't love sleep like when you're supposed to sleep. It's saying don't love sleep when you're supposed to be at work. There were people who got rich. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. And they didn't have to work very hard. And so they started getting a lot of naps. And then they couldn't sleep at night. There are several admonitions of the scripture that say this about not loving sleep. But again, I think God wants us to embrace one third of our life that he thinks is important for us. Now, I realize some people have to work crazy hours, like Joyce. And shift work is a problem, and we do need shift workers. I mean, I am thankful that there are people there in the middle of the night when people get sick at hospitals. I am thankful that a lot of these things are done the way they are. We need these people working at these times. And so it is harder for somebody like Joyce or any of you that work a shift, weird shift. It's harder for you to get your proper rest. By the way, the World Health Organization has classified third shift work as a probable human carcinogen. Because most people who work third shift don't get enough rest. And as a result, they don't get enough of that cleansing process. There is a group of cells that are in our bodies that are designed to go and kill things. And what they've discovered is, if you don't get enough rest, like cancer, these cells go after cancer. But if you don't get enough rest, these cells get cut. Like if you're only sleeping 4 to 5 hours, that amount of sleep reduces these killer cells that kill cancer and other things in your body by 70%. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Physical activity is another key to a good night's sleep. And we live in a society where physical activity has been diminished quite a bit compared to most of history. Most of history, you didn't get in your car and go to work. You walked or got on a horse. And if you had to go 20 miles, it was an all-day journey. You know, it was a big deal. So the idea here, scripturally, is that the rich person does not get a good night's sleep. And I think there are two reasons for that. One, he's less likely to physically exert himself. I kind of mentioned that a minute ago. And two, he could be focused on his money. And if you focus on money and if you have a love of money, you're going to be worried all the time. John 11:12 says, then his disciples said to him, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. You may remember this passage. It'll kind of give you a little context for it. Jesus was on his way to see Lazarus, and he said to the disciples, Lazarus is asleep. And they said, oh, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't really explain myself to you. Lazarus is dead. And then he went and raised him from the dead. But here's what you need to understand. The mentality of ancient peoples was, when you are sleeping, you are doing well. It's part of getting better. It's part of getting well. It's a normal activity that you do to make your life better, to make your body better. It's really weird that ancient people knew that, and yet we kind of eschew it today as though it's not that important. Yeah. I'm getting there. He's talking about, it's well known among fitness trainers that when you're sleeping, your muscles are rebuilding themselves. It's amazing what it does for athletes. By the way, if you're not getting enough sleep, it affects you in almost every modern disease dramatically. And the numbers, I didn't write them all down. There's if you want to read about it or look about it, I can hook you up with a couple of YouTube videos. It'll amaze you, all the things they're discovering about sleep now. But if you're struggling with high blood pressure, it's one of the best treatments, sleep. If you're struggling with diabetes, guess what one of the best treatments is? Sleep. If you're having a problem with heart disease, guess what one of the best treatments is? A good night's rest. And it just, the list just goes on and on and on. So here's the thing. Sleep is not only healing, it's also preventative. The more you sleep, the less problems you have. Getting to the athletes now. There are athletes who are being instructed to get more sleep by their trainers. And one of the things that they're also being instructed in concerning sleep is coming from their general managers and team owners. This is really cool. They actually can experience less injury if they get a good night's rest. A professional athlete who sleeps for 9 hours before an event has a 50% less likelihood of injury compared to the same athlete who sleeps 6 hours. And here's a name for you, like him or hate him, LeBron James sleeps 12 hours a night during the season. And a lot of athletes are doing that now. They're getting extra sleep. Hussein Bolt set the world record after he got up. He'd only been awake 40 minutes, and he went out and set the world record. He made sure he got plenty of sleep. That was in the, what is it, the mile? What is this? 100? Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember for sure. And then, of course, all the training, everything that goes with it. You want to. One guy called sleep his superpower. He believed that it was more than natural, that it was giving him supernatural ability. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 5 says, "We give no offense in anything, but that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, with fastings." Okay, do you think that God inspired Paul to write what he wrote? I do. What is the Bible telling us that sleeplessness compares to? Tribulations, distresses, imprisonments, needs, stripes, tumults, labors, sleeplessness. They're all the same thing to God. They're all disruptive to our lives and what God wants to do for us. I think Paul was saying he was willing to do those things for the sake of the gospel. And I think that's a clearly it's a sacrifice unto God when he gave up his sleep for the sake of the gospel. But that was to advance the kingdom. If it keeps us from functioning to our fullest, then I don't think it's a kingdom advancement. I think it's just foolishness. So we need to know when. And by the way, how will you know when? Oh, he'll instruct you in the night seasons. Yeah. So, let's just wrap this up. I believe God loves you so much. I love you so much. So I've been working on this myself. I'm going to sleep better. My wife and I have been working on it. We're trying to get to bed better. If she puts on a load of laundry at the wrong time, I yell at her. It's time to go to bed. I know, but we got to let this dry, and then I got to fold it up. We're trying to go to bed better. Trying to take care of my wife. I want to take care of my wonderful, she's the best wife I've ever had, wife. She's just amazing. So I want to take care of her. I want to take care of me. I want to take care of you. I love you. And if you're like, now some of you are thinking, well, I have a hard time sleeping. I know. I know. So I'm going to give you a few tips. And if you're interested in more tips and more ideas and things that you can do to sleep better, wouldn't it be great if we all slept better? Okay. I know this isn't the most supernatural message I've ever given. But maybe if you start sleeping better, you'll wake up and you'll be more alert. By the way, this was an interesting thing too. Remember they talked about the hunter-gatherer tribes that would sleep 4 hours, be up for two, go back to sleep for four? They did this with a group of people who wanted to do a study on it, and they wanted to see what it was like. So they took modern Americans and they started having them sleep like that. Their comments were, I've never been this awake in my life. I feel so energized. I feel so awake. So here's some tips. First, the biggest thing that you need to do is determine how much sleep you need. Some people can get by with more like 7.5. Really, 7 is like the line that they find that it really impairs you. Below 7 and below is impairing you more than you know. So here's how you find out. You go to bed and you set an alarm for the morning. And if the alarm has to wake you up, then you didn't get enough sleep. So if you set an alarm for 8 hours and you wake up before the alarm, you don't quite need 8 hours. If you set an alarm for 8 hours and every time you have to be woke up by the alarm, then you need more sleep. That's just who you are. I've always needed a lot of sleep. I've always liked a lot of sleep. I think, by the way, I'm happier than most people because I sleep a lot. I am a good sleeper. The other thing that you need to do is you need to set an alarm, but not so much to get up, but to go to bed. You need a system that says, bring, time to go to bed. And you start your process. Are you in bed yet? And get to bed. If you go to bed at the same time every night, pretty soon you know what will happen? You'll start to wake up at the same time every day. And when you wake up at the same time every day because you go to bed at the same time every night, you'll start to figure out how long your sleep cycle is, how long you need, because some people do need more than others. There are, they said, a few people. So somebody's going to grab a hold of this by faith. There are a few people who can sleep less than 7 hours, 6 hours, and can get away with it seemingly. But they've got a hormone going on inside of them that they can actually find inside of you. So before you decide that's you, you might want to go get tested. Okay. Stick with the possible, with a schedule as much as possible. Regularity is one of the most key things that helps people sleep. You do it for your kids and you know it helps them. Guess what? Do it for yourself, kid. Exercise is great. And part of our problem is we don't get enough exercise. We don't do enough physical labor. The sleep of a laborer is sweet. You maybe need to move around a little bit more in your life. And if you make determinations to do that, it'll help you sleep. A tired body will sleep a little easier than a non-tired body. But don't exercise within 3 hours, two at the most, of going to bed. Because that gets you amped up. Here we go. This is where I get really ugly. This is where you're going to hate me. Okay, ready? Caffeine. Never drink caffeine after noon. In fact, one of the guys said 14 hours before you plan to go to sleep, do not drink caffeine. Caffeine has a half-life of 6 hours and a quarter life of 12 hours. So if you drink caffeine at noon, it's like if you went to bed at midnight and you drank a quarter cup of caffeine before you went to sleep. It'll affect you that way. And some people say, caffeine doesn't affect me, and I'm one of them. Caffeine doesn't affect me. I've said that my entire life. I tried to use caffeine to stay up when I had to work third shift at Kroger, and it didn't work. I took caffeine pills. I drank Mountain Dew till it ran out of me. All I did was run to the bathroom. I could not stay awake. By the way, I don't have that problem anymore. For whatever reason, when I need to stay awake, I can. But when I was young, I almost wrecked a whole lot of cars. And by the way, more people die due to microsleeps than drunk driving or drugged driving. Anyway, do what you can to not get caffeine in your system, because the less caffeine you have in your system, the more likely you are to sleep through the cycles, and your cycles will go better. Even if you don't think caffeine keeps you awake, it does keep your sleep cycle screwed up. And by the way, if you'd like to have a glass of wine to help you sleep, wrong thing. It's a sedative. It's a drug. And if you take a sedative before you go to bed, I know they'll give you sedatives all the time. You got to go to the store and you can buy sedatives. The experts that I saw said, don't take them, because it's a sedative, so it may help you fall asleep, but it doesn't help you stay asleep. And they actually can measure, and they know that people who do those things wake up more times during the night, by far, than people who don't. Wow. Keep your room dark and cool, around 65 degrees, and very dark. Night lights are a bad thing. Clocks with flashing lights, or clocks that you can wake up and see what time it is, so you can say to yourself, oh crap, it's only 3 o'clock. Or, oh crap, it's already 3 o'clock. I didn't get enough sleep. You know that. Don't do that to yourself. It's a bad idea. And don't take naps after 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I know. But you'll sleep better at nights. That's what the experts are saying. I told you about avoiding blue lights, cell phones, screens. If you can avoid those 1 hour before bed, you will sleep better. I believe God wants your sleep to be sweet. This is the bottom line. I believe that any gift that God gives us should not be looked at with I don't need that. And in fact, if you look at the gift of God that he calls sleep, and he says he loves you and he gives you sleep, if you look at the gift of God that God has given you and you say, I don't need that, you do so to your own peril. And I have for years, by the way. I realize it. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've actually slept more than most people. There have been times when I didn't think it was a big deal. And there were times when I felt a little embarrassed that I like 9 is really a good number for me. But I have found that at this age, I do wake up after about 8, whether the alarm goes off or not. And then I push on the little puppy dog that's up against me, getting me too hot. And get down to the bottom of the bed, you dumb. There's a world that needs you, and they need you awake and alert. And I think it would be really cool if I got testimonies from this message someday where people said, I started sleeping better. I started looking into it. I found a way to get myself. I feel so much better. I think it could happen. So don't be mad at me. But told you can't enjoy some things like your big espresso before bed. Not a good idea. All right, very cool.